it's my honor to welcome Reverend Dr. Peter Wells, who will be our preacher this morning, while Pastor Paul is on his last weekend of vacation time, much needed vacation before he starts the holiday festivities. So please read, there's a long list of positions and accolades for Dr. Wells in the bulletin. We were very honored to have him with us this morning. Are there any announcements? Please join me in the call to worship. Rejoice, my friends, rejoice.
And we seek time to embrace the joy.
Rejoice, my friends, rejoice.
We create opportunities to embody joy.
Rejoice, my friends, rejoice.
Sing songs that announce joy.
Please join me on the opening hymn of the Father's Love Begotten, the blue hymnal, number 174.
Today we will light the third candle, the candle of joy. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is joy. Joy that is ours, not only at Christmas, but always.
When the young woman Mary learned that she was going to give birth to the Christ child, she was filled with joy and said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The coming of Christ fills all of us with joy. As we wait for Christmas, we look forward to the joyful celebrations we will share together.
Please join me in the Advent prayer. Eternal God,
as you know, our Christmas pageant will be part of our service next week, and we're all really excited. Year after year, the reimagining of Jesus' birth is a remarkable experience, and the birth of every child born is equally remarkable to all of us. One of my all-time favorite books, On the Day You Were Born by Nancy Tillman, captures the magic of bringing new life into our world. Today, I'm going to share this story with all of you, children and adults alike. So sit back and imagine the birth of your brother or sister, your child, your grandchild, your niece or nephew, or any child that is special to you. On the night you were born, the moon smiled with such wonder that the stars peeked in to see you, and the night wind whispered, "Life will never be the same," because there had never been anyone like you, ever in the world. So enchanted with you were the wind and the rain that they whispered the sound of your wonderful name. The sound of your name is a magical one. Let's say it out loud before we go on. So just in your heads, if you would, say the name, your name, or the name of some child that is remarkably special to you. It sailed through the farmland high on the breeze, over the ocean and through the trees, until everyone heard it and knew of the one and only ever you. Not once had there been such eyes, such a nose, such silly, wiggly, wonderful toes. In fact, I think I'll count to three so you can wiggle your toes for me. One, two, three. When the polar bears heard, they danced until dawn. From faraway places, the geese flew home. The moon stayed up until morning the next day, and none of the ladybugs flew away. So whenever you doubt just how special you are, and you wonder who loves you, how much, and how far. Listen for geese honking high in the sky. They're singing a song to remember you by. Or notice the bears asleep in the zoo. It's because they're dancing all night for you. Or drift off to sleep in the sound of the wind. Listen closely. It's whispering your name again. If the moon stays up until morning one day, or a ladybug lands and decides to stay, or a little bird sits at your window a while, it's because they're all hoping to see you smile. For never before in story or rhyme, not even once upon a time, has the world ever known you, my friend. And it never will, not ever again. Heaven blew every trumpet and played every horn on the wonderful, marvelous night you were born. Thank you. Now it's time for church school. Kids, I'll see you all in the, just follow me.
Listen for the word of God. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Zephaniah was a prophet of God who lived probably around 640 BC. Listen with mind and heart to his words. Say aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst. A warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing and as on a day of a festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord, our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me now in Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7, for our responsive reading. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Talk today a little bit about, first of all, I'm going to get rid of this notebook up here. Paul's, by the way, let me praise Paul for a second. You are so blessed, as I hope you know, to have Paul as your pastor. I spent 11 years being a regional minister in the Massachusetts Conference of the United Church of Christ. One of the things I did was work with a lot of pastors, like a lot of pastors. 170 churches full of pastors, right? And I have to say that if I would look up a definition of pastor, Paul's name would be in the definition. Because he is that good, friends. He is that good. And you were blessed to have him. I'm sure he feels blessed to be with you as well. But I'm going to talk a little bit today about the images we have of Mary. And I want you to listen, think of the image you might have of Mary, bowing before the child, you know. And listen to these words from what's called the Magnificat. And think about some of the phrases in here, and do they fit with the image we have of Mary? Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." Think about that. Does that fit the image? He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Again, does it fit the image? He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, to his descendants forever. The word of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, I'm a visitor, you know. Cindy said the accolades. And the thing about me, I need to confess, I wrote those. So, I mean, you know. And I wore this tie with a Grinch on it. Grant said, "Did you wear it?" My wife said, "Did you wear that intentionally?" I said, "Yeah, I'm celebrating all the Cindy Lou's and Cindy's in this world." Right? The old... I'll just sit back and listen to some special music. listen to Janet's story. The opening line in the song, I was there to hear your morning cry. It's a great song. The old story tells us that God sent an angel named Gabriel to visit a young woman named Mary. In the story, Gabriel says to Mary, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Not surprisingly, Mary is somewhat perplexed and wonders what kind of greeting this may be. Her anxiety is not eased when she hears the news that she will give birth to a child who will be called the Son of God. Imagine that. But in spite of her confusion and wonder and fears and anxiety, in the end, or is it the beginning, Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me. Mary says, "Yes. Greetings, favored one. You have found favor with God." From now on, Mary says in the Magnificat, which we heard, "All generations will call me blessed." Blessed, favored one. Many of us have a dreamy image of Mary, the blessed, the favored one. We imagine her standing quietly, innocently, maybe in a garden. We imagine her dressed in a long gown, hair flowing underneath a light blue shawl, perfect complexion, tender blue eyes, gentle smile. We have this image of Mary as a loving, peaceful, gentle young woman. We imagine her gently holding her child, wrapping him carefully in swaddling cloths, gently placing him in a manger, kneeling beside him as he falls asleep in a silent, silent, starry night. Mother and child, seemingly oblivious to the shepherds, the wise men, and all those singing angels. In our image, Mary is wise, she's patient, she is ever so perfect, she is barely human, she's an ideal. This image we have of Mary has been fostered through centuries of great and lesser art, Christmas cards, pageants, Sunday school lessons, prayers, sermons. We have this image of Mary. And in the end, an image is all we can ever really have. No. Time, theology, myth have put too much distance between us and the Mary of history for us to ever know for certain who she really was, what she was really like, what her life was like. Time, theology, and myth will not allow us to discover the facts, the historic truths, the biological and relational realities of this woman who throughout time has been called blessed, as she describes herself in the scriptures. Are there facts we can know about this woman who has been prayed about and to, who has been enshrined and enthroned, who has been idolized and deified? There are actually a couple. First, we can say with certainty that Mary was a young, poor woman, probably a girl by today's standards. We can say that Mary lived in a culture and a time that didn't value girls or women or the poor. Greetings, favored one. Have you found favor with God? From now on, all generations will call me blessed. So, what makes this woman, this young woman named Mary, the favored one? Why is it that from generation to generation have agreed with Mary and called her blessed, favored, holy? The answer, I think, lies in the words we hear Mary utter at the end of the biblical story of the Annunciation. In spite of her confusion and her concerns, her questions, Mary says, let it be with me according to your word. Let it be with me. Simply put, Mary is blessed because Mary said yes. Mary's story is, of course, full of miracles and mystery, which the church throughout time has tried to dissect and interpret and debated, sought to explain, and at times explain away. There is so much to wonder and question and contemplate in Mary's story. The dreams, the angelic visitor, concept of virgin birth, the full inn, the welcoming stable, the shepherds, magi, flights to Egypt, trip to the temple, 20 or more years virtually unaccounted for. The story is full of mysteries, miracles, but I agree with the author who says the real miracle, and perhaps the mystery of Mary's story, was not that she would have a child. That's certainly something that happens all the time. The real miracle wasn't even that the child would be called the Son of the Most High. The real miracle, the author says, is that she may it happen to me as you said. The real miracle of this story was that this very human woman, a girl really, said yes. That God should choose a poor young woman or a girl like Mary is not really an aberration. We should not be surprised by this choice, for the biblical record is full of stories of God choosing people just like Mary. The God of the Bible has a habit of choosing women, stuttering murderers, prostitutes, widows, carpenters, fishermen, shepherds, persecutors, tax collectors, trimmers of sycamore trees, old women and old men. People who might not expect to be chosen are just the type of people God chooses. People of low or no esteem. People others shun or avoid. People with little or no power or position or place. People who labor in the fields to put food on our table. People who throw their nets in the water in the morning. They bake the bread and set the table. They build homes and clean them. The Bible tells us that God is always choosing people like Mary to be the pathway for God's love to enter into life. No, we should not be surprised by the choice of someone like Mary. We should actually expect it. We have this image of Mary, meek and mild, gentle and kind, soft and tender, clear skin, bright eyes, light blue shawls and flowing gowns, silently watching the sun in the manger and in time on a cross. We have this image of Mary, but let us not let the image push her away from us. Let us not let the image set her apart from us. Let us remember that Mary was just like us. Ordinary, full of doubts, fears, concerns, questions, anxieties, hopes, dreams. We should not be surprised that God would choose her. We should expect it, and we should expect that God would choose us as well. Better, we should expect that God is choosing us today. God is always choosing people like Mary, Joseph, Abraham, Sarah, Peter, John, Mary, Martha, Paul, you, me, us. God is always coming to people just like us and bringing good news. Good news that we too can in our living of our lives give flesh to the word. Good news that, as Bishop Spahn says, in our life, time and eternity meet. That in our life, humanity and divinity can interact. That when we say yes, miracles can and do happen. That God's life-changing love can work within and through us, can bring down the powerful from their thrones. That God's life-changing love or spirit can lift up the lowly, fill the hungry with good things, and push the aside the oppressor. Mary's story teaches us that when we say yes, God's life-changing spirit becomes real and dwells within us and amongst us. This was how it once was in the story of a young woman, a girl, really, named Mary. And that is how it can be again with you and with me. If we're willing to say yes to God, even when we doubt, fear, we are up to the task of being a people of God. Let it be with us as it was with Mary. Yes? Amen. May God be with you. Let us pray. O God of all people and time, we, your people, gather in this place and time to join our hearts together in prayer. We celebrate together the salt and light you have brought into our lives. Salt and light of families and friends, of neighbors and neighborhoods, of opportunity to travel, a community such as this to come home to. New life, new adventure. Our lives have felt the power of your salt, your light, in ways large and small, in the excitement of celebration, the seasons of celebration, and quiet moments of reflection. For these moments and more, we give you thanks and praise. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving and praise, but we also come to this place and time with concerns, worries, fears, and distress. We lift up those close to us who are in need of healing, comfort, rest, who mourn, who feel alone and isolated. We lift up those who have and are now facing the power of nature that has and is turning their lives upside down, inside out. We lift up victims of violence in all its various forms, all its countless names, victims found in our own community and beyond. We pray that the salt and light of your love, your compassion and justice might be showered upon this fragile creation and all who dwell upon it. We come to this place and time with our particular concerns, our particular celebrations, joys, and burdens. And in the stillness of this moment, we lift them up to you. Help us to bring light into all the darkness of life, spread hope for a better world, a world where justice is made real by your children living together in harmony. Help us to bring salt into the blandness of life, encouraging vitality and joy, and living in a world that dares to hope for the future that you promised, where all your children will know themselves loved and valued and treasured, created in your image, bringing you glory forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It is the season of gift giving. Let us prepare and let us receive this morning's gifts through the ministry of God's church.
Thank you.
We can do incredible things because your Spirit lives within us. We pray that you would give us the power to say yes. Amen.
God in Christ. Friends, go in peace. Shalom.